As I say in school, do you want to see me picture? Now all the kids go, yeah. Unless you go to senior school and they go, we don't give a monkeys with your shovels or not. So, but anyway, junior school, they go, yeah. So you can be junior school today, okay? Do you want me to see the picture?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. It's great. It's great when the kids go out and they go, hi. Oh, they come into the assembly and they go, yeah. Anyway, that's it. Today, I want to talk about something that a very important person did. So no surprises. We're talking about Jesus today, as you'll be pleased to know. In the Bible, it says that Jesus weeps. And as far as I can see, he wept three times. Now, I don't know how often you cry. They do say, when I looked at the internet, men cry less than women. But actually, it's bad if you never cry. So it's important to cry. But I must admit, I began to think, why the heck, when I feel emotion, why do I cry? Someone dies, I go to a funeral, or I hear someone's dies, and this water comes out my eyes. And when sometimes you do it laughing, don't you? You're laughing so much that you start crying. And that's hilarious when that happens, isn't it? And it's running down your face. And your kids say, you're sad, Dad. I'm not sad, you know. But there are emotion. We cry, don't we? And it's weird. But you know, scientists don't know why we cry. Animals don't cry. You heard of crocodile tears, didn't you? I looked that up. Apparently, the crocodile tears that they cry, they're not sad, although they might look sad, because they haven't got the emotional connection. But we have. And they do say, the one thing they do know, they say it's good for you, because it releases hormones and endorphins that actually make it feel better. And, you've heard a good cry. And so sometimes it's good to have a good cry, because it releases emotions. Maybe that's why ladies last longer, because they release their emotions, us blokes hold it in, you know, and all the blokes die early, don't they? So start crying, guys, you know, start crying. It's really important. But it's Jesus, he wept, and he was a real man. He really wept. And but what were the occasions where he wept? Well, he wept at the tomb of Lazarus, and he went to the tomb, and Jesus turned up, and he went to the tomb of Lazarus, and there was Mary, and she was there. And she said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. And then Jesus saw their emotion, and Jesus wept. My first PowerPoint, if we can, I can have that up. I'll read it to you. And you can leave that up if you like. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet. And Jesus said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some said, could he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Why did Jesus cry at the tomb? He was moved with compassion. And when we see other people crying, that draws us to them, to care for them. And they do say that's possibly why the Lord has enabled us to cry. So we have compassion for one another. It draws other people to us when we need them. And so they can see that we are sad. But maybe also, it's interesting because Jesus knew that he would raise Lazarus from the dead. He told his disciples he'd do that. So why is he crying? Perhaps. Because it was never meant to be like that. Because as far as people are concerned, as far as we're concerned, death is equivalent to the end. It's the end of life. There's nothing more to say. When we've been to the funeral and been to the coroner's court, I used to go to coroner's court. And I was always interested to see this is the last official thing that'll ever be said about someone. So it's really important. And you go to a funeral, it's really important that we remember the person, but it's the end. Jesus is God. It was never meant to be the end. We were meant to live forever. So he weeps because Lazarus has died. But then, of course, we know he raised him from the dead, which was glorious. And that takes us on to the next time when Jesus wept, because Jesus became really popular now. And it was like if the paparazzi were about, they'd have been on him. Because, and they'd have been there in Bethany, because there was Lazarus there and Jesus was there. So sure enough, when it came to the feast of the Passover and Jesus went up to Bethany, went up from Bethany to Jerusalem, a big crowd gathered. Well, there's a surprise. There was a dead man there who'd come back to life, and there was the guy there who raised him for life. So Jesus came over the hill, and of course there was loads and loads of other people, and they were lying in the route, and they were casting palm branches, as we know. We talked about this the other day at Hyde Court. We did that particular time, and Jesus came over, and they were rejoicing. He was on a donkey. He picked up the donkey up here on the Mount of Olives, and so he hasn't got on the he hasn't got on the donkey. I didn't want to draw a donkey today, so there he is. He hasn't got on the donkey yet, and all the people lined the route all the way to Jerusalem. We know that they cast palm branches before him. It was a glorious time. They were all happy. What's Jesus doing? Jesus had a broken heart as he came over that hill and came to Jerusalem. When he saw Jerusalem, he had a broken heart. Look at the next passage. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. Jesus said that before he got there. That's what he said. And when he got there and stood at the top and looked over it, he knew that was going to happen. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. But surely they were welcoming him as king. Surely he should have been happy. But they weren't really welcoming him as king, were they? What sort of king did they want? They wanted a king of this world that would get rid of the Romans, that would destroy the Romans, and the Israelis would get their power back. Maybe like it's happening now. Many are not acknowledging the Lord Jesus, but they want their power back. But Jesus, what did he say? This kingdom, my kingdom, is not of this world. When he spoke to Pontius Pilate. And when he came over to here, he was brokenhearted because he knew his people were not turning to him. Just like before, they killed the prophets. They got rid of the things of God. And now they were going to kill God himself. And he knew that. He was brokenhearted. Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. because death should not be the end. So he raised him to life. But when he gets to Jerusalem, he's brokenhearted. He goes to Jerusalem and meets with his disciples. He turns the tables over. But then it comes to the time for him to be arrested. And he goes with his disciples. At night time, when it's dark. And he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he kneels down. And prays. And his disciples are left sitting together at a distance. They fall asleep. But Jesus is hurting inside. What's he thinking? It doesn't actually say that he cried, but it does say he was sorrowful unto death. Man, I think he cried. We know that he sweat drops of blood. But what does it say? In the book of Mark. He took Peter, James and John along with him. And he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch. And going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba. Father, he said, Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. And we know the story. He returned to his disciples and they were sleeping. And he went back and knelt again and prayed. He was brokenhearted again. Why was he so brokenhearted? It was so difficult to go to the cross. The cross was so tough. How could God die? People say that to me on the street. How could God have died? But God had become man, and man dies. In Adam, we all die. We're all heading for death. In 100 years' time, we won't be here. Be another load of people in CBCF if we're still running. It won't be you guys. 100 years' time, Mike could be nearly 200. So I shouldn't think he'd be here. I won't tell you old McQueen will be, man. But you know, what was he asking? He's going, Father, take this cup from me. It's too difficult. I don't want to be separated from you by sin. Because that's everybody else's. They're going to die. These people in Jerusalem, he's weeping over them because they're going to die without him. They're finished. I said to the kids at school a little while ago, you know when you have a Christmas tree in your house, a real one, you know it's dead, don't you? You know why? Because you cut it off at the roots. And then you have this dead thing in your house and you decorate it as if it's alive. And then a month later you chuck it out and the dustman takes it away. We're just the same. In Adam, we've all been cut off. Cut off at the root. We're all dead. There's no life in us. We look good. We wear nice yellow suits. But we're dead. And there's only one place we're going.
It's down there.
We might look nice for a few years, but then you're risen away and you die. But in Christ, something else happens. That's why Jesus didn't want to go that way. What he was asking was, just like we ask, and people often ask, when someone dies, why death? Why does it have to be like this? What does Jesus say? You can do anything, Lord. If it's possible, take this cup from me. Why death? But he knew he had to go that way. Because he'd already instituted the Last Supper. He said, take this bread, take this cup, remember me. This is my blood given for you. He did that before he died. He knew this was going. He knew where this was going. And when they came to arrest him, he didn't fight. He didn't run away. He could have run away like all the other disciples, couldn't he? But he didn't. My kingdom, not of this world. If it had been, my disciples would fight and defend me. But Jesus gave his life on the cross. In amongst two criminals, identified with the criminals, he willingly took our pain and our suffering and our death on himself. God took my pain on himself. But it wasn't the end, of course. It wasn't the end, because Easter Sunday, we remember, he didn't stay dead. What a terrible day Good Friday is. Perhaps we should call it Bad Friday. Josephine's just going to move her bus. On the third day, just like he said, if you destroy this temple, I'll rebuild it in 3 days. He wasn't talking about the temple at all. He was talking about his body. He came back to life. How do we know this is true? Well, I'll tell you what, the biggest organisation that you're part of is still going 2,000 years later, and it's the biggest organisation man has ever known. And you can trace it back to that time. Guess what? I reckon it happened. Because if it didn't happen, how did we all get here? How long are you going to remember me? I reckon we get remembered about a generation. My great-grandchildren won't even know my name. Oh, you're that geezer, you know. I think there was a great-granddad somewhere. Even my grandchildren are going, what was his granddad's name? We knew him as granddad. Don't know what his name was. 2,000 years later, we're still talking about him. He lives in my heart. Does he live in your heart? Because Jesus weeps when people refuse to turn to him. But you know, the amazing thing is this. My last word. You're glad to know. It's nearly over. And Jesus rejoices. He weeps and he rejoices. And I believe he's still weeping and still rejoicing. He's weeping because some people won't turn to him. I spoke to a bloke in Woolwich yesterday. He just wanted to argue about what we call Jesus. Is it Yeshua or Jesus? I said, for goodness sake, forget what he's called. Just repent. Jesus is weeping over that man. Turn to me. You're going to die without me. He really cares. He really cared about his friend Lazarus. He really cares about his people. I hope you're still praying for Jerusalem. That's what we're supposed to do as Christians. But we're supposed to pray for everybody because he died for everybody. But he rejoices when people turn to him. Let me ask you the obvious question. What's Jesus doing over your life? Is he weeping? Is he brokenhearted? Because he just won't turn to him. Is he asking the same questions as all? Why death? Why did I have to die? Why did my dad have to die? I spoke to a bloke yesterday. I know he lost his dad 2 weeks ago. I said, that killed me when my dad died. He was my friend. My dad had become my friend. And when he died, I lost my dad and I lost my friend. I was cracked up inside. I can still cry now thinking about it, because he was my mate. 30 years ago that happened. And I think, why did he have to die? My dad will be about over 95 now, about the same age as my mother-in-law. 96, he'd be 96. He could still be alive, couldn't he? My mother-in-law's still alive, she's 95. But my dad passed away. Why death? My daughter got up to see her father-in-law, he's dying. They're going, why death? Why does he have to die? He's only in his 60s. But Jesus died so that we might all live. Isn't that fantastic? That's what Easter's so great. We're all dead, but he makes us alive.
This is 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 51. Listen, and I will tell you a divine mystery. Not all of us will die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in an instant, in the twinkling of his eye. For when the last trumpet is sounded, the dead will come back to life. We will be indestructible and we will be transformed. For we will discard our mortal clothes and slip into a body that is imperishable. What is mortal now will be exchanged for immortality. And when that which is mortal puts on immortality, and what now decays is exchanged for what will never decay, then the scripture will be fulfilled that says, death is swallowed up by a triumphant victory. So death, tell me, where is your victory? Tell me, death, where is your sting?
Jesus gave his life for us. How did he do that? We don't know. It's a mystery. He did it for you, and he did it for me. It's a mystery. And before he died, he says to his disciples, take and eat this and do it in remembrance of me. How did he know? But he struggled. He struggled with death. He didn't want to be cut off from the Father. He didn't want to enter death like every man, because he was God, but he was man too. But Jesus did it. He took bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body. And we still do that. Remember, only he could do it. He was man, he was God at the same time. He knew he would shed his blood. So he took the cup. How did he do it? No one else was good enough to pay the price of sin. Only he could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. He's opened it wide. But it's also narrow. And there's only one way. He said, take, drink it, all of you. All of you. He died for you. So bring life. Praise God for Easter. It's all about him. It's all about what he did for us. Thank God for him. Let's pray. Father, thanks so much for your loving, loving kindness. We can't get over what you've done. You're victorious. You're the king. You were willing to go all that way. It wasn't easy. It was so difficult. It's probably the most difficult thing anybody could do ever. And yet you did it for us, not for yourself, but for us.
so that we might have life. Thank you that you love us so much. We know that you've wept over us. We pray now that you'll rejoice over us as we leave here. Lord, help us to share this good news with others. It's the best news ever. Everybody needs to hear it. And we thank you that we've heard it. And it's only by your grace we've heard it. We pray for our friends. We pray for our family. We pray for those we love. We pray for those who we find difficult. Lord, we want them all to find you. We pray for Jerusalem at this time. You'll bring peace. But most of all, you'll bring peace in their hearts. They don't know who the Messiah is. Lord, we want everybody to know who the Messiah is. He did everything for us. And we want to praise you today. So we honour you. We lift you up. We pray that we'll continue to honour you through this week. In Jesus' name.